To Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside of Kitchen Notes. And we had a great hour with Coach Fisher. And now we continue with MTSU AD Chris Massaro, who has been nice enough to join us. Chris, how you doing?
Man, it's an honor. This is like the highlight of my career. I told my wife today I finally made it. I got to go to Kitchen Notes with him. Talk to Chase and Joe.
Well, look, we're excited to have you here because, you know, we didn't do our countdown. We're
65
days away from college football.
Oh, boy.
And I know that it's obviously an exciting year for the Blue Raiders, but for you it's going to be a little bit different as you are now on the college football playoff committee.
Yeah, and that's a big thrill for me. It was something I've wanted to do since the CFP's been formed, so yeah. It's an honor to be there. And we had our first meetings in Chicago in June, just kind of a little orientation and get to know each other. And then we'll have some more meetings in August where I'll get all the technology and my iPad and all the links to be able to watch film and all those kind of things. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be curious, and I know there's, you know, certain things you can talk about, certain things you can't, but just how – because you probably don't know until you do it how intensive it really is to keep up with all these teams while also doing your day job.
Yeah, and that'll be fun. And, you know, I watch a lot of college football anyhow, but I'm sure it'll be increased a lot. So, but I'm looking forward to that. That I think that's going to be the fun piece of it and to be a part of it. And what they drilled in our first meeting, guys, is that, you know, no matter what we do, and you're not supposed to wear your logos coming in and those kind of things, but the main job of the committee is just to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter what all the noise is and everything else out there, our job is just to do our very best to get it right. And so you got 11 people in that room, and if you all kind of go in with that kind of mission, you know, one of the great sporting events in the country, and just do your absolute best to get it right, then I think the outcomes are going to be good.
I feel like, and it may be viewed as a small thing, but I look at it as a big thing, of whenever now you're mentioned as a voter on the College Football Playoff Committee, and then followed by Director of Athletics at Middle Tennessee State University, that's big for the Blue Raiders because of the brand association and the fact that it kind of puts them on a bigger stage. To me, I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think it's kind of cool.
No, I think so. I would agree with that, Chase. And just, you know, I've done one meeting, so I'm
sure
still really wet behind my ears, but we were guests of the Chicago Cubs, and we got this intimate tour of Wrigley Field and kind of all of its renovations and kind of what they did and some of the nuances. And so I was able to actually take a couple of those ideas and bring them back to what we're trying to do either in our Murphy Center and our Student Athlete Performance Center with what we're able to do. So it just opens up more doors of knowledge for me to be able to bring back to campus. And I do think there's an association there that there's a respect factor for our institution because I'm on that committee. So we'll see how it all plays out.
We've known you for a long time. You've been at Middle since 2005?
Right.
2005. Yeah. You don't seek attention. You seek attention for your school
and for
your coaches and student athletes.
Yeah.
This is a huge honor to be on this College Football Playoff Committee. Did you actively seek this? How did this all come about? Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of drama involved that I wouldn't want to be part of this. But you're built for this, aren't you?
I hope so.
Right, you are.
Yeah, I hope so. And I did want it. So, I sought it, you know, and it was a long process. And I was lucky, too, that the long story of it, Joe, is that way back when we were in the Sun Belt Conference, that I was part of an NCAA committee. There was one member from every conference. It's called the Bowl Certification Committee. And so at that time, every bowl, particularly new bowls, had to be certified by the NCAA before they got approved. And so I was on it, and like Mark Womack from the SEC was on it, and a bunch of other guys, you know, so there was 11 of us on that committee. And then the NCAA really started getting worried about the legality of that, that you have this little group saying, yeah, you can be a bowl game. No, you can't be a bowl game.
Yeah.
You know, and so they disbanded that about the same time the college football playoff was starting to form. And so they morphed our committee into an AD's advisory committee for this college football playoff. So we met a couple of years prior to, you know, just things like what should the visitors' allotment look like? How long should the team stay at the city? How do the bowls still be incorporated into what we're trying to do? Do we sell beer at the, you know, just so there was a lot of little ancillary type things. And we were an advisory committee. We didn't have decision-making responsibilities. We just made recommendations to the commissioners as they were setting it all up. So that sort of whetted my appetite, and it let Bill Hancock and some of the people I work with and some of the CFP staff know kind of who I was and what I was about. So I always maintained those contacts. And so our committee stayed for the first 2 years of the CFP. And so it was great, man. Access to the hospitality room at the national championship game, and this thing was as huge as that the lobby we're in, and it's like, well, man, this is the best committee. I have no decision making responsibility,
right?
You know, and then I got a heartbreaking email like after the second year that, hey, now that we've done it and it's been launched and we've got ADs that have participated in it, we really don't need this committee anymore. So thank you for your service. You know, and so it was like, well, that makes some sense.
Right.
But it was still heartbreaking. And so I still maintain contact. Like, I wanted to make sure, and I believe in the playoffs, so I made sure I went to I've been to every championship game except for the COVID year. And so just maintaining those contacts. And then when the position comes open and they want a group of five representative, that it has to be vetted by the commissioners. And so I've known some of these commissioners for a long time, like Greg Sankey when I was at South Carolina. He was an associate commissioner. Jim Phillips, he was at Tennessee, you know, and he's now the ACC guy. So I've known those guys that the kind of interesting, the American commissioner, Tim Permanetti, his son and my son were roommates in college.
Oh, wow.
So I got to know him quite a bit through Connor and Ben, you know, and so I felt like, and John Steinbrecher, the Mac, I've known him for, I actually interviewed for an internship with him when he was at Davidson College, you know, and so I've known these guys, and obviously Judy at the Conference USA. So I thought if I could get in there, not knowing necessarily who else was interested in this, that I had a shot at it. And that's where you kind of rely on your reputation. And if you're a guy that they respect and maybe have some sort of intelligence and something to offer, then you have a chance to do it. So I was thrilled when I got in. I don't know if it took 10 votes, you know, like
but
the Pope or whatever.
Yeah. The Pope.
Yeah. So I don't know how, if somebody had to make an impassioned speech or whatever.
Well, you're in. Good for you.
Yeah.
So how long is this role now?
It's a 3-year term.
Okay.
So I like that, you know, I was on the women's basketball committee and I was only on it for a year. But other committee members, that was a 5-year term, and I was a replacement for Wood Selig when he left Western Kentucky. And those, everybody that served on those kind of committees are like, man, 5 years, that's like a prison sentence. I wish this was 3 or 4. And I think a short run, I think that was really wise when they set that up to not have long 5-year terms for these committees.
Yeah, I think it's good for sure. Chris Massaro is with us, MTSU Athletic Director. We'll have more with him. He's with us for the whole hour today. We'll talk more about the Blue Raiders and everything else coming up next. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game at the Omni Nashville Hotel, proud sponsor of this here show. Continuing our conversation with Chris Massaro, MTSU Athletics Director and now on the College Football Playoff Committee. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because you're great to talk about these things, is the ever-changing landscape of athletics. And now there's the settlement that the NCAA, they're going to pay players, past players, that there's a settlement, and then schools can now directly – pay players, not having to completely rely on NIL. That seems like a game changer in things. So how does that affect not only college athletics as a whole, but specifically in MTSU?
Yeah, and I mean, it is a 100-degree change from maybe where we were 12 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, where you tried to keep payments to stop happening to players, and, you know, and you get in big trouble. And, you know, SMU and what in the 80s had their program shut down.
Right.
For kind of the very stuff that we're trying to do right now. So it's a 180-degree philosophical change from what the NCAA has been for the last 70 years or whatever it might be. And so those of us that have been in it a while, there's an adjustment there. And I think you're seeing that. And I think that we all were too slow to react. And I remember, to pat myself on the back a little bit, that I was at an NCAA meeting and they're discussing the O'Bannon case, and that was name, image, and likeness. Like, should the video game, is that fair?
Yeah.
That we're using likenesses of these players? And he was a UCLA basketball player, and everything looked exactly like him, except they didn't put the name of its jersey on the back. You know, and so it's like, what harm will that do if those guys get a cut of the video game? This is like extra revenue for us, and so what if Tim Tebow gets a cut from the number 15 jersey at Florida? I mean, how would that really hurt us? You know, and it was sort of, I wasn't shouted down at the meeting, but it was sort of like, man, he's just way out there. And there was no legs, or there wasn't anything that anybody said, oh, yeah, like, why are we? And because it was just so traditional, we can't do that. And I think everybody was afraid of that slippery slope. You know, one of the things that makes us different and nobody really talks about is to acquire talent. It's a free agency system, just, and it always has been, a free agency system to acquire talent. So when we go out and recruit high schools, they have a choice. If they're talented enough, they can go anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
You know, in high schools, you're limited by your geography and whatever you're zoned for. In the pros, you have drafts and those kind of things. So we have a free agency and a freedom of choice where a player can go when they signed. And I don't know if we really relied on that argument very much. And then now we've got free agency when they sign. Free agency after every year. There's no collective bargaining agreement like what you see in the pros, where there's rookie minimums and those kind of things. So we're in a situation with 134 FBS schools where we have the free agency system that's all the way through, from acquisition to retention every year, and that 4 or 5 year period, which makes us incredibly different than the pros. And so I'm hoping this will help with that. Joe, you were
question. So Chase and I, we go through this all the time. We talk. I just hate that we don't spend time talking about on the field. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I know you're in the middle of all this, and I know it's part of what it is now. I remember, Chris, when I was at Samford, as long as my meal card worked,
yeah,
I was happy.
Yeah.
I was happy. You got me right there.
Right.
It's just a whole new thing that I think we're all learning at the same time, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, I think there was frustration that we never presented that argument, and somewhere in there that the value of the education piece got delayed.
Yes.
And my view is there was always delayed payment. If you had an athlete, like we had George Rogers at South Carolina that won the Heisman Trophy in 1980, I started working for South Carolina in 1985, so it was still pretty fresh. And George was in the pros, and then when George was done with the pros, he got a nice job at the university and, you know, without a whole lot of responsibilities and those kind of things. So it was sort of the code that you took care of your guys after graduation. So whether it was the local bank or whatever, that as an athlete, you kind of had advantages. If you kept your nose clean and did things right, that then there was kind of this delayed gratification later.
Right.
And so we kind of lost that too, that everything had to be immediate. And colleges and universities aren't set up. They're set up to build the platforms to launch from.
Right.
And now we're like Nick McDevitt, our basketball coach, says that college basketball is the second most lucrative pro league in the world. and
right.
That's not what we're designed to be. Like, they pay more than the G League. They pay more than the European leagues and those kind of things. And so that's not what colleges were designed to be. And so we're trying to force kind of all this into a system.
Right.
And it will work. I mean, that I don't want to sound like Chicken Little and these kind of things. It'll just take some time because we still have more questions than answers.
Uh-huh.
And these are massive adjustments that we're all having to go through. And so, but yeah, it's, and everybody's got to find their balance. Like if you started with the budgets we have and just started at zero and build it out, like, okay, here's your player salaries and here's your coach's salaries, and you build it from the beginning, it would look a whole lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be paying your coaches perhaps as much, you know, and so it'd be more horizontal than vertical.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is jam this this extra payroll now into an existing system that was largely a vertical build. And so now over time we got to flatten it out and make it a more of a horizontal build. And so that'll take some time. And
it'll get there, right?
Yeah, it'll get there. And group of five will be fine. That every time there's changes, everybody forecasts, oh, this is going to be the end of group of five.
Yeah,
right.
And these kind of things. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe in our place in the universe and those kind of things. And so I think we're going to be fine. You know, when you look at this, if you call it a free agency system, we're in the middle of the food chain, and that's not a bad place to be, that we can get guys coming down from maybe the autonomy four. We can get players maybe moving up from lesser resource conferences than ours.
Yeah.
So we have some flexibility there. If you're at the top, like Texas or Alabama, you might not have that kind of flexibility
that's right.
We have. You know, and so I don't know why people think that we're at this extreme disadvantage by this system. You know, when I got hired, Joe, I'd never wanted to lose a staff member to a peer institution for a peer job. So, like, I didn't want to lose an offensive coordinator to UAB, you know, or associate AD to Western Kentucky. You know, and if I did, then we needed to ask those kind of questions, like, why are we not paying enough? What
right.
are we not doing here? And so now we just need to shift that focus to the players as well. And so I had a great senior associate AD, Graham Neff, and he came in and had a great opportunity at Clemson. And you know what? It was better for his career. It was going to pay more. So you shake his hand and go, man, good luck, Graham. And now he's the AD at Clemson.
Holy cow.
And so but that was a step up. That was upward mobility for him. And why can't we have the same sort of attitude for our players? Like, if we lose a player, football or basketball, we lost a basketball player to Clemson this year. Starting
Damn it,
guard.
Graham. Yeah.
And just like, hey, you know what? That's going to happen. Shake his hand. Congratulations. You're making more money than you might make in your entire life next year.
Yep.
Just make sure you take care of your money.
Yeah.
And that was I brought him to my office and said, tell me what you're doing about your money. I have no dog in this hunt other than I
Good
really
for you.
Like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I just want to make sure that you're protecting something somewhere, you know, and because we can educate and these kind of things, but what people don't understand is these are like 21-year-old people that have obligations back home, and there's a lot of people that are tugging at that money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so somehow we, as the adults in the room, have to try to help guide that. And it's harder to build trust when there's so much money involved.
Quick question. Oh, you can add, just real quick question.
Yep.
How much would have Todd Ellis gotten an NIL deal? You're the only one who could answer this.
Todd Ellis? He would have been he'd have been he was the number one quarterback coming out of Greensboro Page High School in the 80s, and he signed at South Carolina. He'd have been a $3-4 million guy.
He's
now
crazy, right?
You know, and we've got, I mean, Joe, we've got Reggie Upshaw's on our basketball staff, and he's doing great, man. And he's making like minimum, like the break in salary of a coach, you know. And so traditionally, you know, that those guys starve for a while, and then they you connect them with a better job. And those, so he's in that starving page right now, and he's like thinking, man, if the NIL would have existed back when I was playing, I'd have been a $300,000-$400,000 guy.
Yeah.
You know,
he was good.
Yeah, yeah, he was really good.
So good.
And so he's feeling hard, you know, and so it's impacts a lot of people, and it's sort of like when you're born, when you can cash in.
Yeah. We will have more with Chris Massaro coming up next. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We've had some fun today. Coach Jeff Fisher in our first hour. Chris Massaro, MTSU AD, in our second hour, talking college athletics with him. Let's talk some Blue Raiders because we were, as you sat down before we went on the air, stadium is very close.
Yeah, we've got a new building in our north end zone, our Student Athlete Performance Center, which now is going to be named Stephen and Denise Smith Student Athlete Performance Center. So the Board of Trustees passed that name on, and so that was a big honor, and it's well deserved, and so we're cutting the ribbon on that on July 30th. So they're busy right
now.
We're moving furniture in, and the graphics are going up, and all the finishing touches, they're working on the weekends and trying to meet the deadlines, and so right now everything's on schedule, and the whole goal, Chase, was to have it open by training camp, and so football will be able to move into their digs. They've been kind of, the last 2 years while we've been in construction, they've been spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so to be able to consolidate them back and to have an adequate weight room again and those kind of things, that's going to really be helpful for us. So we're super stoked about it. This building is incredible. It's got everything that we would want in it. And I think it's well designed for player flow and those kind of things. You know, it's kind of interesting that two coaching staffs have had input on the building, you know, and Coach Stock is real meticulous and organized. And so he, you know, in the primary planning stages of it, it was a good layout. And so when Coach Mason gets hired and kind of looks at it, you're a little bit worried, like, oh, boy, are we going to have a lot of changes and those kind of things. And just a tweak here and a tweak there and those kind of things. So that's a compliment to our old staff, our architects and designers and people that were involved from the beginning, because it's really got the blessings of two staffs, which I'm pretty proud of, because this building's going to last and it's going to have to serve several staffs, and so if it's designed that well, then maybe our fourth and fifth staff 20 years from now will be just fine in there as well.
I love the fact that I say we, because I'm part of the broadcast crew.
Absolutely.
Open versus Austin Peay.
Yeah.
I love local.
Me too.
I think that's huge for what you guys, it's unveiling everything. Everybody's going to see the stadium for the first time, the new stadium, all that. I just think it's so huge to have that school here.
Yeah, and I love those local games, you know, and I think it's important, like, if you're trying to attract students that hey, they know kids that go to to Austin Peay and vice versa, and so you can gig them. If you're at your place of business, you know, and there's an Austin Peay graduate there, you can set up the friendly little bets and those kind of things. And so that's one of the things that we miss largely in Conference USA, is if there's not a whole lot of interplay with Sam Houston, you know, locally and some of that. So to be able to do that in your non-conference schedule, I think, is really important, because that, And it's a great way to open the football season because everybody's excited about your season opener. Mm-hmm. And so the Austin Peay fans will be excited. Come on down. It'll be a great experience. Our fans will be excited. And let's have a little fun, a little local rivalry. Let's do it. Let's get after it.
How do you get Wisconsin on the schedule? That's game number two up in Madison. How does that come about?
Yeah, and it's changed a little bit. There's a program now that called Gridiron that this guy named Dave Brown runs. And Dave Brown used to be the main scheduler for ESPN. I remember one time when my first year at MTSU and I'm trying to get us on TV, there was like only one Sun Belt game at the time that would get on TV, and I'm trying to do his job. And, hey, if we do this with Lafayette, and we could switch the schedules around. And he I knew him at South Carolina, so we had a relationship. And so he goes, Chris, other than having that game, I'd rather be dark. It's like, okay. All right.
You know what that means in TV world.
Yeah, I'll try not to do your job. but he runs this thing called Gridiron, and so it lists everybody's schedules, and you can go on it and see where the openings are. And so Wisconsin had an opening, and so then it's a buy game situation. So are they offering the money that we would need to be able to go there and on a one-off? And so, yes, that hits that box. And walk down the hallway, hey, coach, how do you feel about Wisconsin for this amount of money? And it's like, oh, all right. they're never too excited.
Right.
You know, they'd rather bring in an FCS opponent than a Big Ten opponent, but, you know, they know the realities of it. And so and I think that one of the things for our fans and those kind of things is to bounce some of these road experiences around. I mean, we went to Iowa, where, you know, between the first and second quarter, everybody turns and salutes the Children's Hospital, you know, and that was a really emotional experience. You know, you play in the Big House, and at Michigan, you play at Alabama, and those kind of things. So it's fun for our fans, and I can't wait to see a game at Madison, Wisconsin. I've never seen that, and so the jump around between the third and fourth quarter, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
The sway.
Yeah. So
especially,
let's go there.
Especially if you're winning.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I remember sitting next to you at the Miami game.
That's right.
And we went down there. They're ranked 25th, and we led that thing from wire to wire.
Oh, that was awesome.
And so it was an awesome game. And so there's no better feeling than to win those kind of games.
I got worried for you. For backstory quick, Chris is sitting in front of me. Yeah. Middles is kicking the tar out of Miami during the game. Three men come over, two guys sit down, then one guy sits next to me, and they look like they're from the mafia.
Yeah, and they blocked the aisle, too.
I said, this is it. They're going to kill Chris Massaro because Middles kicked the crap out of Miami, and it was the Hard Rock guy or somebody from Hard Rock Cafe.
They came up and said, are you Chris Massaro? And I almost said he is the show. But I decided, well, let's see what these guys. And at the time, we were talking about some sort of gambling advertisement sponsorships, you know, rather than FanDuel, like something with Hard Rock. And it was kind of a nationwide thing where Learfield was trying to put it together, and so those guys wanted to
just
talk a little
time.
Bit about it.
Just an odd time.
It was very odd. It was very odd, and they looked like casino
they
guys.
They did. I was like, well, Chris is gone. He'll so have a good trip back.
You know, you mentioned
in
that.
The Everglades somewhere.
you mentioned the gambling aspect. If I jumped in the DeLorean and went back to, you said you started at South Carolina in 1985.
Yeah.
Go back to 1985 to Chris Massaro at South Carolina, and I tell you, hey, just so you know, gambling's going to be legal, and these sports betting books are going to be sponsors of college athletics. You're going to be able to pay players. There's going to be this name, image, and likeness, and you can transfer whatever you want. You'd probably look at me going, what?
Yeah, it was, you know, blowing the mind. You know, I mean, just that whole – it is a 180, and that you're going to sell beer in the stadium.
Yeah, that too.
You know, and those kind of things, and have – beer sponsorships and those kind of things. So it was really weird. And to just show you how much it's changed, like I was in charge of concessions early on in my career at South Carolina, and we sold cigarettes in the concession stands. And you could chart it like the close games, the cigarette sales would spike. You know? So they're all hoping, you know, it'll be a close game up those Marlboros.
The punchline of the whole thing would be, oh, and there's a college football playoff. What?
Yeah.
We're not doing just the bowl system
anymore?
Yeah,
we're not selecting them, you know, after the Orange Bowl, when the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl champions never meet. Yeah, so a 16-team playoff or a 12-team or wherever it's going to get there. It's crazy how much it's changed. But I think that, you know, the other thing that's happened, and people don't really talk about it, is television and the media and back in 85, you know, to about 2000, it was still a very regional sport.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, if you lived in the SEC country, you didn't see necessarily a lot of Big Ten games, you know, on television and those kind of things until the Bulls. And so then there was great interest in the Bulls. And, you know, you might see that Southern Cal Notre Dame game, but you didn't see Southern Cal versus Oregon, you know, or Washington. And so it was pretty regional. And then whether it's through the championships or through television, all these influences happen and the sport becomes national where there's more connectivity, you know, and then it's regional pride. And that's been both a good thing and a bad thing. Like, okay, the Big Ten and the SEC are these behemoth conferences, and it didn't used to be that way, that they were all kind of equal and everybody sort of had their own space and their own geography. You know, and the Big 12 or the Big 8, if you even want to go further back, you know, in the Southwest Conference, everybody had their own geography and just sort of stayed in your region. Well, that expanded and kind of blew up. And so I think that's helped the popularity of the sport, you know, and the TV ratings and those kind of things. But it's also brought about all these changes that we're seeing. And I don't know how healthy it is that sometimes I think the conferences worry more about the payout than how many championships they won, you know, and those kind of things. So I think that's maybe going to go back. And we talked a little bit about if there is this great breakaway at the top, and maybe that'll consolidate it back. So I think it'll be – there's been so much change, and – college football is so good, it's survived.
Sure.
You know, and
it's evolved.
Yeah, and the thing that I hope we never lose in college football is on a Saturday afternoon, you can drive anywhere in the country and there's a game of your choice just at whatever corner you want to stop. It could be a Division III or an NAIA game, and you go there, and that has its own audience, man, and it's pretty cool for the alums and the people that go to those games. And then you might go a little bit further and go to a FCS game and experience what it might be like on campus at Austin Peay or at Tennessee Tech or at TSU. And that's got its own special thing. And then the Group of Five and then the SEC. But on Saturdays in the fall, man, that's just America.
Yep.
And it's every state.
Preach.
Every state, every corner. And it's a great game, and I just hope we that are in the industry have to have a higher calling. And one of the things I like about being on the CFP is I can expand my role of being a guardian of the game, you know. And I think we lost a little bit of that, where we have the solemn oath, man. We've got to protect the games,
and then
everything else below that, like, okay, protect whatever conference you're in or whatever institution you're representing. But the first thing should be to protect the enterprise, protect the game.
Yep.
We're caretakers of the game. The game's going to go on. I'm going to be dead in the ground, and they'll still be playing football on every corner on the Saturdays in the fall with the leaves changing and all those kind of things. And that's a really romantic view, and we just can't lose that. And I believe in that enterprise, and it's going to survive and be there as we go. But I think that as leaders that are making these kind of decisions, we have to keep that in mind.
Amen to that. We will come back with Chris Massaro to wrap up the show. All next here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We've been at the Omni Nashville Hotel just outside Kitchen Notes, and it's been a fun show. Jeff Fisher joined us in the first hour, and then we've had Chris Massaro here in this hour.
If you get a chance tonight, come tonight to Bar Lines here at the Omni Hotel. Free show, songwriter night called If This Bar Could Talk. Jeffrey Steele will be performing tonight, one of the greatest songwriters of all time. It's at 5 o'clock at Bar Lines. It is a free show. So if you come down now tonight looking for something to do, Colton Armstrong down there, Dan Harrison, Paige Penny, and, of course, Jeffrey Steele. Free show starting at 5 o'clock inside Bar Lines.
As we wrap things up, Dr. Crane, if you are caller number 4 at 615-737-1025, you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park. That's coming up tomorrow. So be caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Chris, you know, now we're going into year two with Coach Derek Mason, which I always kind of look at. The second year for a coach is when you really start to see them put their stamp on a program. And as we've talked about with transfer portals and NIL, I mean, this team's going to look different, you know,
yeah,
like, kind of
like
it did last year.
We've got, and I don't know the number, Chase, 30-some
yeah.
New players. I know that a big emphasis was to revamp the offensive line.
Sure.
You know, and so I think we've got 6 or 7 newcomers in there that they're very excited about. So building depth. So, you know, in our world that we've been talking about, you can flip your roster a lot quicker. You know, so it really shouldn't be a 3 to 5 year build anymore. And so I know Coach Mason's really excited about his newcomers. He was thrilled about spring ball kind of and looking at the individual talent level. And you just look and you know, like – We had trouble containing the run on the outside last year, and in our corners this year are much bigger, you know, and you can see that. Just
like Chase McCabe size?
Yeah.
That's a shutdown corner.
Yeah, he is. He can backpedal.
He can get you down like that.
He can do the backpedal.
Real quick, next Tuesday night, the Blitz here in town. I want to get to it, the 24th over here at Bridgestone Arena. $15 parking, food, soft drinks, everything. That's a big deal.
It's fun. So if you're in the area, come see it. We're having a roundtable discussion, probably a lot of the same topics we covered today, and you're going to be part of it. So we'll have celebrities like Joe Dubin will be there,
right?
And so come see it. And the parking's included in the $15. So I mean, I don't know where you can park downtown and get food and parking for $15. So come see us. We'll talk a little Blue Raiders. Coach Mason will be there. Joe will be there. I'll be there. We've got Chris Childers will be part of the panel. And so we just talk about college football.
You had me until you said Chris Childers. No, I'm just kidding. Chris is great.
We've got some great alums, and I'm looking at one. It's Chase McKay.
Right.
Another is Chris Childers. So yep. We're excited and it's going to be a really fun evening. This is probably my favorite evening is when we come to Nashville and we just talk sports.
Love it.
So it'll be fun.
So GoBlueRaiders.com?
GoBlueRaiders.com. And it's at Bridgestone Arena next Tuesday night. And if you can't make that one, we're in Shelbyville Monday night. Or we're all over the mid-state next week. So come see us.
Chris, thanks so much for doing this today.
Man,
we appreciate
fun.
It.
I enjoyed this. That hour flew by for me. It probably dragged for you guys.
No, it is.
But you're
me.
Important. You're on the college football playoff committee.
It flew by.
That's a big deal.
No. The biggest deal is to be on this show and to be here live in person instead of just on the telephone. So it's
well,
a
thank
thrill
you for coming
for me
down.
To be here. Thanks.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening today. By the way, we haven't mentioned it yet, but happy Juneteenth. I know a lot of people are off today. So recognize what today means and the significance of it. And Joe,
yes,
as we do, always do.
We leave our show all the time for guys out there. If you are struggling, we tell you all the time, please talk to somebody on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Again, we're so grateful for the men who've reached out to us over the last year and a half. We just want to tell you that we love you. Your journey is a beautiful journey no matter what's going on. And we need you in this world. We need you. Remember, we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.